You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. You're listening to Across the Border. This is, we're going through the Bible here, and we've ended up in the Gospel of John about chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." This was when Jesus was preaching. He was telling the people that, he preached a little gospel message here, and he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And a voice came from heaven and says, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it." And Jesus said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world." Verse 31, chapter 12. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." This is the point. This is where Satan is cast out of heaven. Not at this very moment, but this is the hour that he came into the world for, of course, to become a sacrifice. And when he went into the grave, and it says that he spoiled principalities, he cast Satan out of heaven. Satan lost his place. That's what he's referring to here. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And for 2,000 years, this has been happening. All men have been drawn to the cross. Not all embrace the cross, but there's been nothing like this that has ever happened upon the earth, where a man could say a word like this: "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, if the Son of Man be lifted up, who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter then said to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter doesn't feel worthy, but when he says, if you don't let me, that you will have no part of me. Well, his expression is the opposite. Yes, not just my feet only, but it's absolutely, I can't live without having part with you. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, say unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, said, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say to you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. In the gospel that they preach today, you know, the one where they say, Do you know you'll go to heaven when you die? And they propose that Jesus is building us mansions, kind of like the mansions we have here. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. There's a lot of room in my Father's house, he's saying. Of course, in the King James Authorized Version, they put mansions. But what does he say? He says that where I am, there ye may also be. When Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, he said, Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Paul said, We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not pie in the sky. It's not a mansion in heaven that Jesus is talking about. He says, You can't follow me now, signifying that he's going into the grave and that he's going to rise again, but you can follow me afterwards. Yes, we can follow him now. He wasn't talking about after they died, these dwelling places. These are dwelling places in his kingdom now. He said, Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. My hand is attached to my body. It will never be further away than that. It will always be that close. Signifying that if the kingdom is at hand, that it is within our grasp. It's within our reach. We can grasp it now. We can get to that place, which they interpreted as a mansion, or as I believe the proper interpretation, if we look at the Hebrew and Greek. Why don't we do that for a second? Mansions. It says staying, a residence, abode. Okay. the actor, the place. Okay? It's an abode. It's a dwelling place. There's plenty of room in my Father's house. In His kingdom. In my Father's house. Where my Father lives. He's talking about a spiritual reality that we can attain while we are in the flesh. And this is what Paul was talking about and how I open this program every day. It's in my Father's kingdom. He could have said kingdom just as easily as he said house. Where my Father says residence. That's what we have here in the Hebrew, the Greek, Strong's Greek, residence. Where my Father lives. Yeah. Where my Father lives, there are many places. There's plenty of room for you in God's kingdom, in this spiritual reality. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. And he says, and whither I go, he says, where I am, there you may also be. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Because he just told them what the way was. He said, I am the way. I go to prepare a place to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also be. This is the dwelling place. This is where his Father's house is. This is where the mansion is. You know, it's a spiritual mansion. It's a spiritual house. It's called the kingdom of God, also called the kingdom of heaven. Repent. It is at hand. It's within your grasp. We have the earnest down payment of the resurrection now. We live and move and have our being in Him. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the kingdom is all about. It is the gospel of the kingdom. If anyone is preaching another kingdom out there, another gospel, than the one Jesus preached, well, I say pay him no mind. But there are a lot of gospels out there, like the gospel you get to go to heaven when you die. Not the one Jesus preached. Maybe some of the words and the way they were translated and the authorized King James and other versions are maybe a little misleading to you. But with enough study, it becomes clear that Jesus wasn't talking about a physical house and a physical mansion. He was talking about a kingdom where his Father lives, where God the Father lives. You know, when the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, he says, we can boldly enter in to the throne room. We can pray to the Father. We can bring our petitions before Him. We can boldly enter in, knowing that we are covered by the blood of the Son of God, that we are perceived as clean in this heavenly place, that we have no sin. By faith, we have no sin in the heavenlies. Certainly, we deal with sin in this mortal flesh, and it'll be that way till we die. And we hate that. But our redemption, the redemption of our bodies, will also take place when our body is planted in the ground. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Whew, for those that... very plain words there. Very plain. It doesn't get any plainer than that. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Going into a break here. We'll pick up here when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Jesus, we love you. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light Purifier by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773 or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. We are continuing our study here in the Gospel according to John. Jesus is, preaching the Gospel. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." He doesn't merely say that he that hath my commandments, but he says, and keepeth them. What are his commandments? A lot of people think, Jesus did away with the law. But he says, I didn't come to do away with the law. The law and the commandments are written in his word. So we know what that pleases him. We have a God who never changes. We have in the beginning of John, it says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by him, and through him was not anything made that was made." This is his Word, the entire Word of God, the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation is his Word, and he changes not. He expects us to have his commandments and keepeth them. He says, if we have his commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. Now he said that he called Judas a thief. He said he's a thief. He doesn't care about the poor when he made the remark about the ointment. Was Judas a keeper of his commandments? Did Judas know the commandments? Well, he probably knew the theft was wrong, but he was stealing anyway. I mean, he wasn't just stealing. He was stealing from God. So he wasn't keeping them, was he? And, what did Jesus say about that? That Judas didn't love him because he didn't keep the commandments. It says, because he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want the love of the Father? Well, then you have to love the Son. How do we know we love the Son? He said, If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So it's very important to me to learn obedience, to keep his commandments. That's what repentance is all about. It's the only gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he preached. It's what he's preaching right now. This is the gospel of the kingdom, in other words. It's the same gospel he preached. Read through Matthew. He went about preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And that's all he's saying here. He that hath my commandments and keep them. Well, how are we going to keep them? It's not in us. It's not in our flesh. We have to repent. And through repentance, we learn obedience. We keep his commandments. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Has he manifested himself to you? Well, Judas, there's one that doesn't believe, obviously, doesn't keep his commandments, who's going to betray him. Judas saith unto him, oh no, this is a different one, not Iscariot. They had to put that in there, qualifier, because Judas was a fairly, well, actually, I think the name is not Judas, but it's Judah. But anyway, that's our Yahuda. Yeah, Judah. Mm-hmm. And also they've interpreted Jude in some places. But Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Got to qualify that. So it wasn't Judas Iscariot. It was another Judas. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? It does seem like an unlikely question for Judas. He would be thinking about other things, like what he's going to do with all the money he's stealing. Yes. And what does a thief think about? You know, whatever his covetous heart desires, right? So this, I guess this would be an unlikely question for a thief or a covetous person. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And it's just kind of saying the same things again about in my Father's, where my Father lives, there's a lot of room, he's saying. You know, where it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, he was preparing that place by his own death so that we could cross over and receive and walk into that place spiritually now, you know. And, of course, with the resurrection, enter in that place to never, you know, to leave it. And so he says it again. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, Jesus, he spoke a lot of word to them. And whatever they might have heard of the reading, a studying of God's word that was in the temple, the Old Testament Bible, the Holy Spirit, he says, will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay? Does the Holy Spirit bring you new revelation? Huh. Think about that for a minute. It says, the Holy Ghost is going to come, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So, if you want the Holy Spirit to bring something to your remembrance, that means you have to have heard it first, or read it, or somehow had known it before. Otherwise, how can you remember what you don't know? Well, you can't remember what you don't know. Can you? This is why it's so important. Why Paul said, study to show yourselves approved. Because the Holy Spirit, you get that word in you. You read the word from cover to cover. You listen to the word every chance you get. Then, when the time is appropriate, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance whatever is appropriate for the situation that you're in at whatever time it is that He needs to bring something to remembrance. He shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, verse 27, chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Are there branches in Jesus? It says he's the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. Are there branches in him that don't bear fruit and he takes them away? Well, I think there's a lot of branches out here today that don't bear fruit, because they bear the fruit of the world instead. They propose. It's like that, you know, several pop rock, Christian pop rock stars that have come out for sodomy and proclaimed their liberty in Christ to sin, you know, really licentiousness. Well, they're still there. They still appear to be there. When is he going to take them away? Well, they will not appear in the resurrection. They will be taken away. I mean, that's the taking away. That's the one you don't want to be in. You don't want to be in that taking away. You want to be part of those that last, okay? That bear fruit, the fruit, his fruit, and not the fruit of the world. He says you can judge a tree by its fruit. So every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he says, that it might bring forth more fruit. Oh, ouch. You know, he's talking about, of course, pruning it. Yes, and the pruning, I have to admit, I'm glad to say that I'm being pruned. That means I'm bearing fruit, and I want to bring forth more fruit. And I'm going to stick around to bring forth as much fruit as I can, because I don't want my branch, you know, to be taken away, or twig, or whatever I am, you know, on his vine. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, that is, you have his commandments and keep them. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, a lot of people think they can read this and then they think they can just go out and do whatever Jesus did. However, a lot of this we can, you know, is here for our instruction. A lot of it applies to us, but not all of it. You got to pay attention to the grammar here. He keeps saying ye and not whosoever. There's a big difference between ye and whosoever. If I say ye are to do this thing today, if ye do this thing, I will do such and such. That means whoever I'm speaking to, if I'm looking at your face, you are the ye. But if someone else hears it or reads about it later, it should say whosoever if it's going to apply to them. So I'm not sure. This may apply, but this is not a blanket of application for everyone that is a Christian. That's all I'm saying, is that the things that Jesus did, the disciples would do, and they did. It's demonstrated that the ye is applicable in this case. Now, we can apply a lot of this. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, well, we can apply, we need to abide in him. We can abide in him, and his words can abide in him. But he says, ye shall ask what ye will. He doesn't say, whosoever shall ask, whatever they want, it shall be done unto them. See, that's not the language here. So can we expect miracles? No, we can't. We can't go out and teach people how to do miracles, as if these words that I'm reading here are some kind of prescription or instruction on how we can go out and do these things. Does God do miracles? Well, I have to say yes, and I say it again. But he is not speaking to whosoever here. He's not speaking to me. There's a message here for me, but these words are not to me. I can derive from them, I can be exhorted, comforted, instructed, but the instruction is not specifically to me. It's to ye. It's to his disciples, those men that he is talking to right there. He says, he continues, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's preparing them for his departure, and certainly they don't really understand it. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So what's he saying? Like Judas, the thief, who didn't care for the poor, right? The thief who didn't care for the poor. Was he Jesus' friend? Well, I don't think so. Because Jesus never commanded him to steal. But he was a thief. He stole. That's why he was worried about, the ointment that wasn't converted into money for the poor to go in his bag that he was holding. He says, henceforth, I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now Jesus is saying, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, the disciples, these 12 apostles, all right, they were just men like us. Of course, they were Hebrew men, perhaps devout, perhaps some of them were not so devout. They were ordinary men. Should we worship them? Should we venerate them, make statues of them, and pray to them? No. They were men. It could have been me if I had been born and lived in that place, in that culture. I could have been one of those. They were just ordinary men. They weren't worshipful. Men that we should worship. Certainly I want to meet them. They're famous. You know, they walked with Jesus. They got to do what I didn't get to do. You know, and some of them, they were blind up until the time that Jesus rose from the dead and confronted them. Even they didn't believe when Mary came back from the grave and told them. They thought, you're nuts. You're crazy. That didn't happen. He's dead. They were just ordinary men. And he says it here, you haven't chosen me like you're something great, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He ordained them that you should go and bring forth much fruit. He ordained them for the mission of being, you know, the next step in preaching the gospel to the whole world. He ordains us and he chooses us even today. But it's not about the men, it's him that is glorified. If he isn't glorified, then there's something wrong. He continues, these things I commanded you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you know, he has chosen us out of the world. He is present today. Remember he told them, I depart, but and you'll see me no more, but then afterwards you'll see me. Well, that's how we see him. You know, not with our physical eyes. They got to see him again with their physical eyes, but we don't see him with our physical eyes. You know, just some girl had a dream of what Jesus looked like and painted it. Doesn't mean that I know what he looks like. That might not even be true. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know what he looked like, but I will know what he looked like when I see him. It doesn't matter what he looks like. I believe that God has withheld an image of himself because, one, he doesn't want people worshiping images. People would worship the image rather than the true. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Ah, I'm more blessed than those who claim they've gone to heaven and sat on Jesus' lap or whatever, you know, all of these fantastic stories I hear. Well, Jesus said, I'm blessed. Blessed is he. They've seen. I haven't. I believe. What do they believe in? What they've seen? I believe, even though I haven't seen. He said, blessed are those who, having not seen, yet believe. I'll be one of those. That's what faith is all about. It's easy to believe what you see, but believe in something you don't see? That's a little difficult, isn't it? That takes faith. Remember that the word, John 15:20, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen. That's right. If I preach the word of God to someone, they won't reject it. And there are some out there that call themselves Christians. And when I preach the word to them, they reject it. Why? Because they continue in their sins. They haven't really seen God. They've seen something else. They've had a vision or they had an experience. And they believe in their vision and their experience. And that's what their faith is based upon. What do I believe in? God's word. I don't need a vision. I'm afraid of a vision. I become the arbiter of that, what that vision is, or that experience. I don't need an experience. I don't need to be slain in the spirit and have some kind of other world experience, because I would be the arbiter of what that experience is and what it means, whether it's real or not, where it came from. I would have to decide all of that, because I can't look in God's word and read, and I have instruction for that. So that makes me the arbiter of that experience. And if I'm the arbiter, well, whose word is it? It's mine. My faith is in an experience and what I believe about it. It's not in the word of God. Be careful when you're talking about experiential Christianity. and you're constantly chasing experiences. A lot of your experience is just endorphins. That's right. People become addicted on their own endorphins. And then they believe that that is the Spirit of God moving in them, when all they've had is a physical experience. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. When you speak the truth to someone, when you point to their sin and you ask them humbly to repent, and they reject it, they have no cloak for their sin. They have no place to hide when they reject the Word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do it. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. I've been listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and be sure to subscribe there. Thank you very much. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you.
Dancing like shadows in the night, faded dreams, one more.